Well, I'm not going to start with AC/DC. And I don't have any tattoos. And I'm a little conflicted from the really upbeat worship to the older version of How Great Thou Art, both of which I love. And it's all dark in here, so that's a little weird. So this should be a new experience for all of us. Last week, it's not going to get any darker than this week. If you were here last week, you know, it was all dark for about 10 minutes. Well, this is the second week of a two-part series. Last week on darkness, this week on light. And so in a moment, it's all going to get light. But while I do a recap of last week in just 3 or 4 minutes, I thought I'd bring the lights down just as a visual for what darkness is like. So last week, while talking about Romans 1, we talked about the devolution of sin in your life, or what happens when sin gets you early on and you progressively go deeper. And the verse talks about those who knew the truth suppressed it. And that's what most of us do. That's what our culture does. Most people know right from wrong. Not as many as it used to be, but I think most people still do. And yet we suppress that truth. And in suppressing, our thinking becomes futile. The farther we get away from the light, the more futile our thinking becomes. And at that point, we become like fools and we move into deeper darkness still. And then we lose God's protection on this slippery slope of sin. We lose God's protection, and it says in various parts of Romans 1 that God gave them over to the sinful desires of their youth, or God gave them over to depravity. So on this gradual slope down, that's what happens. Eventually, you lose God's protection. And then you exchange the truth for a lie, worshiping created things rather than the Creator. Created things like material possessions, TVs and cars, jobs, even family members, instead of the Creator. At that point, we become filled with every kind of wickedness. We invent new ways of doing evil, is what the passage says, because the old ways just aren't good enough anymore. They don't stimulate us enough. It's like a little bit of alcohol and then a little bit of light drugs and then deeper drugs, a little bit of pornography and then a lot of pornography, the devolution of sin. But not only do we invent new ways of doing evil, we approve of others who do the same. And that's where our culture is today, largely. And ultimately, this slippery slope of sin leads to death. But there's good news. There's a pathway out. There's 4 steps out of sin. By the way, if all these slides from last week are on the internet now, and today's slides will be on the internet again this week. Repent, faith, Bible, and the Spirit. So, obviously, 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just. He'll forgive us for sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. We have to believe Romans 8 that says there is no condemnation for those in Christ Jesus. He has thrown our sins, after we repent, as far as the east is from the west, into the deepest places of the sea. He forgives us. We have to have faith believing that. There's a story of a blind guy, Bartimaeus, who was blind since birth. And when Jesus came to town, he yells out, "Hey, Jesus, I want to see." And Jesus says, "Your faith healed you." So part of the pathway out of darkness is in our minds. We have to repent. We have to have faith. We have to get in the Word and learn what truth is. Joshua 1:8 says, "Do not let this book of the law depart from your mouths, but meditate on it day and night. Then you will be prosperous and successful." I'll talk more about that later when we get into light. And then finally, we have to walk and live by the Spirit. Producing spiritual fruit is action of our salvation and our conversion. So there's some things to get out of darkness that we have to do in our mind. And then we have to do some things with our hands. Put it into action. Resist the devil, James 4 says, and he'll flee from you. Don't even mention what the wicked do in secret. That's the standard for righteousness. It's not just not doing the bad stuff. It's not even talking about it. No coarse joking about it. And then 1 Corinthians 15 talks about avoiding bad company. I heard many times growing up that bad company corrupts good morals, and it's true. Thirdly, the pathway out of sin is to put off the bad stuff and put on the good stuff. Ephesians 4 talks about putting off the old self, the corrupted nature. If you have a problem lying, put off the falsehood, put on truth. If you have a problem stealing, put that off, give stuff away, do something useful with your hands. It's not enough when you're trying to divorce from sin to just stop doing the bad stuff. You have to put on some good stuff in its place. And just as one example I talked about, hey, if you've got a problem with lust or covetousness, something with your eye, Jesus says in Matthew, gouge it out. A pretty extreme measure indeed, but that's how seriously he takes it. And then finally, community. The fourth pathway out of darkness is community. And we talked about the one another's. Admonish one another and live in harmony. And be kind and do good and put up with. But the ultimate way out of darkness is by following Christ and his model.
That shines in the darkness. There is a light that shines in the darkness. His name is Jesus. His name is Jesus. His name is Jesus, the light of the world. There is a light that shines in the darkness. There is a shines in the darkness. His name is Jesus. His name is Jesus. His name is Jesus.
Of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before men, that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father who is in heaven.
I spent all this time preparing this week for talking about light, actually for, I don't know, a month. And what you're going to hear is the shortest sermon I've ever given. Yeah, that's pretty good, right? That's true. Because it all boils down to this. Mirror Jesus. That's about it. That's not the end of the sermon, because I have some verses for you to think about. We're actually going to memorize a verse together at the end of the sermon, which I don't know that we've ever done before. But that's it. Mirror Jesus. Everything I'm going to say for the next 10, 15 minutes just boils down to looking like Jesus, talking like Jesus, socializing like Jesus. It's so trite. Every Sunday school question can be answered with two things: Bible and Jesus. It's so trite. I sometimes mock my kids. In fact, I regularly mock my kids. For all kinds of things. But their answers to my questions, which end with Jesus and the Bible, are usually the most common reason I mock my kids. But it's true this morning. If you want to get out of darkness, mirror Christ. If you'd like to follow along, I'm going to read this twice. Many of you like to open up your paper Bibles and read along and look at context. Some of you like to look at your iPhones. This is our passage we're going to talk about. 1 John 1, God is light. In him there is no darkness at all. If we claim to have fellowship with him and yet walk in the darkness, we lie and do not live out the truth. But if we walk in light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, purifies us from all sin. So there's four parts. Let me read it again. Part one, God is light, in him there is no darkness. If we claim to have fellowship with him and yet walk in the darkness, we lie and do not live out the truth. Secondly, but if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And then finally, the blood of Jesus, his son, purifies us from all sin. Number one, God is light. Number two, walk in the darkness and prove you don't know the truth. Number three, walk in light and enjoy fellowship. And finally, Jesus' blood covers everything. So God is light. John 8:12 says that I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness. That's pretty obvious. Jesus is the light. If you are Jesus' follower, you will walk in the light and not in the darkness. Psalm 27. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? Look, the worst part about sin is getting caught. It's really not the worst part. The worst part is actually doing it. But it feels like the worst part when we get caught. And that moment of getting caught is a terrible feeling, isn't it? Because you think you're alone oftentimes in the darkness. You think you're alone sinning. And after all, you're not hurting anybody but yourself. Except you know what's wrong. So when you get caught, somebody turns the light on. Teacher sees you looking over your shoulder at your buddy next door. IRS sends a letter. That's a miserable feeling. Psalm 27, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? Whom shall I fear? If you've never done anything wrong on your taxes, you don't fear the letter from the IRS, which my wife and I have gotten two out of the last 3 years. So if you've never gotten one, count your blessings. And whoever writes these letters for the IRS, they need a lesson on writing them a little more nicely. But if you've never done anything wrong on your taxes, you don't have to fear it. And if you're not looking at the wrong stuff late at night on your computer, you don't have to fear your spouse or your kids coming in on you. And if you're not blowing your money on something you shouldn't be blowing it on, you shouldn't have to worry about your spouse or somebody finding out in the checkbook what you're doing. If you're living like Christ wants us to live, in the light, mirroring Christ, there is no fear. By the way, light does only one thing. What is it, Patrick? What does light do? It's just one thing. It shines. It lights up the dark. That's all light does. That's it. That's all light does. And it shines on a 360-degree basis. It shines on things above it and beside it and below it. Light shines 360 degrees. Isn't it interesting, the first thing God said in Scripture is, let there be light. And then when Jesus came, he sends his son, he calls him the light of the world. And then in the end, heaven will be lit, illuminated by God's glory. Light is throughout Scripture from the beginning to the end, and it only does one thing, it shines. If you guys, in your Christian walks, are simply mirroring Jesus. I'm going to say it multiple times. It's trite. Walk as Jesus did. If that's all you do, you will shine like stars in the universe. Second part of the passage is, walk in darkness and prove you don't know the truth. If you want people to know that you don't know Jesus, keep walking in the dark. If you have a fractured relationship that needs repaired, prove to the other person that you really don't love Jesus by continuing to walk in the dark. If you want the other person to know that you're a Christian and you love Jesus more than yourself, approach the person. Ask their forgiveness. Ask to go to lunch with them. We can resist darkness by understanding that he has called us out of the darkness. That's what it says in 1 Peter 2 and Colossians 1. You are chosen people, God's special possession, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness. You probably know somebody who's a solid believer, who whistles a lot, who sings a lot, who has a smile on their face all the time, who has a warm word of encouragement for you. My friend Dan Brusco was in the first service. I don't know if he's here now. Are you here, Dan? He's out there. He's upstairs. Well, he's upstairs. He's upstairs helping somebody. My friend Daniel Brusco is one of these people. He loves people. If you don't know him, you should meet him after the service. He'll give you a hug. He'll say something kind to you if he doesn't even know you. He's one of those people who declare the praises of God both verbally and through his actions. When I'm sick and dying, I'm calling Dan. He's loving. He's gentle. He declares the praises of God in all that he does and his actions. Dan understands Colossians 1 that says that God has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son. We need a keen, sorrowful knowledge of what sin is. We will never get out of the darkness unless our awareness of sin is keen and sorrowful. In the law, the legal definition of to know, like if you, to be convicted of murder in Indiana, you have to knowingly murder another human. The legal definition of know is, according to the courts, is to emotionally appreciate. That's how the law understands knowledge. And to prove somebody guilty of something, you have to prove there's a mental element. In order to have the mental element of knowing, you have to have an emotional appreciation for what you're doing is wrong. That, by the way, is the reason drunk driving is not, you know, murder one, as they say on TV. Because if you're drunk, you really didn't intend to murder somebody. You still go away for a long time. But the definition of knowing in the law is to emotionally appreciate. If you don't emotionally appreciate the gravity of your sin, the fact that your sin is bad, you won't have the keen, sorrowful knowledge from which to repent, and because of which you have a desire to repent and get right with God. Thirdly, the 1 John passage says, walk in the light and enjoy fellowship. For God who said, 2 Corinthians, let light shine out of darkness, has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God. Let light shine out of darkness. In the face of Jesus Christ. So I started off by saying the trite summary of this sermon is to mirror Christ. Jesus shone light all throughout his life. Whether in the manger, as the new light that God brought into the world, innocent, helpless, dependent on adults for his well-being, Jesus was light at that time. Maybe you think of Jesus when he was 12 or so, teaching the Pharisees in the temple. These older guys, 50, 60 years old, who had studied the law all their lives. Jesus shows up to shed some light on the discussion, to teach these guys. Maybe you think of Jesus shining light when he went into the temple and the money changers were selling birds and other marketplace stuff. And he got angry and he flips over the tables and he says, my house will be a house of prayer. Jesus shone light to the money changers in the temple. During with the woman at the well, when he goes from a city in the south to the city up north, he goes straight through Samaria where he's not supposed to be. It was a bad place. He goes to the well, a common meeting place, and he starts talking to a woman. He's not supposed to talk to women back in the day. And immediately confronts her on what her sin is. Jesus shining light by confronting sin. And then ultimately, of course, on the cross, the ultimate light, the ultimate demonstration for us. And then Thomas, the guy who spent one of the 12, right? 12 apostles, doubting Thomas, spends 3 years with him. Jesus handpicks him to be one of the 12. Jesus gets crucified as he predicted. He gets resurrected and he shows up in this upper room where the 12 apostles are hanging out and they're huddled and they're scared because they think the Romans are going to come and arrest them. Thomas doubts Jesus and Jesus shines a light of compassion and understanding, not judgment, and says, that's all right, Thomas, come over here. Feel the wounds on my side. Mirroring Jesus is the way out of darkness. Philippians 2, do all things without grumbling or questioning, that you may be blameless and innocent, children of God, without blemish in the midst of a crooked and twisted generation, among whom you shine as lights, holding fast to the word. We're going to talk about the word in a minute. Blameless, innocent. Does that characterize you? Blameless, innocent. If we were to ask your coworkers, your fellow students, your neighbors, your community or civic relationships, if we were to ask those people, hey, is so-and-so characterized by being blameless and innocent? What would they say? Philippians 2 says that as our light shines for Christ, we will be blameless and innocent. Matthew 5, you are the light of the world. This is the end of the recording earlier, the English voice. A city on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before men that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven. How long do you think it takes for a light to go out when it's deprived oxygen? You might be thinking, if we're going to watch this whole thing, it's going to take a while. About 10 seconds. That's it. Deprive light oxygen, and it takes about 10 seconds for it to go out. Your oxygen is community, it's repentance, it's faith, it's the word. Isaiah 42. I, the Lord, have called you in righteousness. I will take hold of your hand. I will make a light for the Gentiles to open eyes that are blind, to free captives from prison, and to release from the dungeon those who sit in darkness. That's it. In a moment, I'm going to show you a resume of a light walker. And all of the underlined portions from these verses will appear on the resume of the light walker. So I want you to think about all the underlined portions and whether they would appear on your resume. Are you freeing captives? Are you shining light in the dungeon? Joe Willer, who some of you know, has a ministry of a dozen or so ladies who are going into the strip clubs in Fort Wayne. And almost every week when they go in, they send an email to our leadership team, and we pray for them, and then they come out and they send us another email. And look, that is awesome ministry. The only thing they do when they go in is they sit at a table, they buy a Coke, and they talk to the girls who come over on their breaks. That's what they do. They build relationships with these women who are in there stripping to try to bring them out of the darkness. Now, that ministry is not for everybody. I'd suggest it's not for at least half the people in this room. But it's a good ministry. Maybe your ministry, not quite so avant-garde, not quite so out there. Maybe your ministry is opening your mouth, talking to the person who's worked next to you for the last 10 years, who might not recognize you any differently than all the rest of the people in the shop or in the work. Maybe your light this week is talking to your neighbor who you've lived next to for 6 years, but the only time you've ever talked to him is when you mow the lawn or shoveled the driveway, and it was that awkward wave. Hope he doesn't come over, because I'm going to go in the house in 2 minutes. It is not hard to shine our lights. You have opportunities every moment of every day. Just mirror Jesus, and you'll be shining your light. Isaiah 42. And I'll lead the blind in a way they don't know. In paths they haven't known, I'll guide them. I'll turn the darkness before them into light. That's what God does for the faithful who follow him. He turns the darkness before them into light. He makes the rough places level. And finally, the fourth promise in this passage from 1 John is that Jesus' blood cleanses all sin. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, and according with the riches of God's grace. And then the 1:7 verse that I read earlier. That's it. Four parts. The next slide is the resume of lightwalkers. And I want you to just quickly scan these bullets, all of which came from the various verses you just saw, and ask if there's any up there that resonate with you? Are you welcoming light's exposure? Here's a litmus test for whether you're mirroring Christ. If you welcome light's exposure, or is there something in your past which you prefer to keep suppressed in the darkness? As I've been an elder at Grace for a long time and served by many guys who are far more faithful than me, under good leadership from Chris and others, in almost every single problem we've dealt with, sin problem, whether our own or people in the church, almost without exception, it's because a person has darkness which they keep hidden from the light. Satan loves darkness. Jesus loves light. I'll make you a promise. If you want more harmonious relationship in your life, if you want more happiness in your life, if you want more joy in your life, repent and expose to the light whatever darkness is keeping you down. Satan is whispering in your ear, oh, you can expose all of that and keep the front up, but this one little thing, man, that's too bad. Don't expose that. People will think you're worthless. People will think you're a fake. Don't expose that. Or everything you've accomplished for the kingdom will just come crashing down because people will know you're a hypocrite. You're a phony. Satan wants the one little thing that you've kept in darkness to be kept in darkness. When we're weak, he is strong. The hardest part is just asking forgiveness the first time, exposing it. My promise to you is you will be happier. You will have better, more healthy relationships. Your life will be better. Expose what is dark in your life to the light. Now, here's the secret of lightwalkers. The secret of lightwalkers is they understand the value of the word. Psalm 119, your word is a lamp to my feet. Last week, for those of you who were here, I asked somebody to bring me something from the back of the room, and it was pitch black. And he walked up, and he was kind of banging on chairs and fumbling. The Bible says that your word is a lamp to my feet. If he just had a lamp on his feet, not the rest of the room, just on his feet, it would have been a lot easier for him to walk. Lightwalkers know that God's word is a lamp to their feet. Psalm 119, a little later. The unfolding of your word gives light. It imparts understanding. Hey, if you wonder whether your sin, which you've kept in the darkness, if you wonder whether it's a bad thing, I'd love to talk to you about it. And I'll help you understand through Scripture that it's a really bad thing and it's keeping you down. The word gives light. We talked about Joshua last time. Don't let the book of the law depart from your mouth, but meditate on it day and night. Then you will be careful to do everything in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful. This is what the world says you should want. Prosperity and success. And Joshua says it begins with a firm understanding of the word. My last slide and something I told you we'd do. I've been coming to this church for a long time, and I don't ever remember memorizing a verse on Sunday morning. But we're going to try this morning. I won't ask all of you when the last time was that you memorized a verse. I don't memorize Scripture enough. I'd bet that most of you don't memorize Scripture enough. So we're going to try to memorize Scripture this morning. This one verse, that's it, one verse. The reason I picked this verse is because to mirror Christ, you have to understand what lightwalkers understand, which is the value of the word. And one way to value the word is to memorize the word. And as Chris says when he preaches on sexual purity, for example, it's not enough to just, you know, preach and act out abstinence. It's not enough to just put the computer filter on. The sin, whether sexual or otherwise, begins in your head. So the goal should be to make your head clean, to make your head like Jesus would prefer. Mirroring Jesus means to make your head clean. And I think this verse epitomizes all other verses on this subject. Whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever it is, admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Hey, I don't know what y'all did last night, but I'm guessing some people in here watched TV or watched a movie. My only question is, does that movie meet this litmus test? Does it meet this definition? Was it pure? Was it lovely, admirable, noble, true, excellent, and right? The conversations you had this past week at work, at lunch, with your coworkers, were they pure, lovely, admirable, noble, true, excellent, and right? Were you planting light for Jesus at work? Were you planting light with your neighbors at home? Were you planting light with your fellow students before the test, after the test, at the soccer game, at the football game, after the football game, at the party? Were you planting light and mirroring Christ? So when I went through school, I had to have these little mnemonic tools, these memory helpers. And one was acronyms, and PLANTER is how I memorized this. So here's what I want you to do. With someone sitting around you, I just want you to take just two minutes, and see if by using the acronym PLANTER, you can rattle off everything in Philippians 4:8. All right? Just give it a shot. Just talk to somebody next to you. See if you can remember what PLANTER is, the P, the L, the A, in Philippians 4:8. Give it a shot. All right, I'm hearing some progress. But in the interest of time, I'm gonna close down today's sermon by singing a song. Bear with me. I'm going to sing for you. It's not on the screen. Craig and team are not going to play it. But I memorized this verse when I lived in Indianapolis 25 years ago because a friend who I was in an accountability group with wrote a little tune with his acoustic guitar to this passage. Okay? And I'm going to sing it not because I think I'm a good singer. I think you might demonstrate. You might realize I'm not so much. Not because I think you're going to memorize the tune, not to terribly memorize my children who are sitting at this table and over there, which I'm sure it will, which I'll hear about at lunch, but rather because, as some of you know, I like to do things that are memorable in sermons. And if you remember me just singing this song a cappella, you might think, why in the world did he do that? And then if you connect that with Philippians 4:8 and planting, that would be good. So here it goes. Whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is praiseworthy, think about such things. Let's pray. Father, we want to be mirrors of Christ. Darkness, in one way or another, has everybody in this room down. Satan has us beaten down in some way, some more than others. Some people feel like they're at the end of the rope. Others are just dabbling a little bit. Father, others may have made a decision for Christ 2 months ago, but last night fell off the wagon in their relationship with you. Satan wants to keep them down, but you want to raise us up. When we're weak, you are strong. At your cross, we find forgiveness. Father, I pray that the folks of grace will resist the devil, believing that he'll flee from us. Make us believe that your word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. May we at grace be planters of light, focused on whatever is pure and lovely and admirable, noble, true, excellent, right, praiseworthy. Father, I pray that memorization will be real at grace, and we'll do it, and we'll be planters. Thank you for your word, your truth, the fact that mirroring Jesus is all we have to do to move from darkness to light. In Jesus' name, amen.